Who's up for talking nonsense?
Who's up for talking nonsense?
And what's special about this particular bout of nonsense?
Well, American Jezebel, this is our 15th episode.
Why, yes, Greasy Rapidian, it is.
And as you know, I love to know what all the anniversaries are, you know, so one is paper and three is leather and 10 is tin. 15, I believe, is the live and direct anniversary. You know what live and direct means?
What does it mean?
This is live and direct. Live and direct. You know what live and direct mean? Mean live and direct.
Who is going to get that reference? I have no idea what you're saying.
Oh, there's a few fans out there. Who are going to go, oh yeah, I remember the Live and Direct album.
all of these movies in this trilogy have been outside of your wheelhouse and in mine, and now you're bringing in some references that I have no associations with.
Well, if one of our readers out there knows, we're looking for them to call in and say, hey, great to hear a reference to the old live album.
So you have brought in the Bruce Almighty fans to hate on you, or Jim Carrey. I just associate him, I guess. and you're going to bring in all of the fans.
Absolutely.
To applaud you.
So I've been listening to the local public radio open air station, which is fantastic, the Colorado Sound. Just a great radio station. It's like a community radio station, like the old days of community radio, where they play real music, not just manufactured music.
And you know this because you once had a short-lived career in radio.
Well, people probably recognize my DJ voice. Yeah, I did have a late-night new wave show at the university, the Cold North University. University of Alaska Fairbanks. Shout out to all the Nanooks out there, right?
Yes, all of them.
Yep. So if anybody was there in 1981, 82, listening to Riding the Crest of a New Day.
Is that what the show was called?
That's what it was called, because I had the Saturday night show from, like, 11 to 2 or something. It was crazy. I'm choking on a tater tot. I don't know if that's an ASMR.
Choking? Coughing?
I love the sound of coughing and choking.
Oh, no. That's a terrible mouth sound. Don't subject the listeners to that. We're trying to hold on to listeners. We've stopped alienating the Jim Carrey fans.
Okay, so anyway, so the Colorado Sound, they play all kinds of music like you never hear on the radio, which is great to hear. And they have a show like, what's it called? You named it or something. They have a little segment where you wanted to hear or something like that's called. Okay. And people write in and say, hey, you know who I don't hear on the radio ever? And so I might have to write in and say, you know who I don't hear on the radio ever?
So that's a long and roundabout way of saying that this episode is a live and direct episode, meaning that we have not yet watched the movie.
We have not.
We are about to start watching the movie. It is pulled up in front of us right now. So we are going to do a live watch of Love, Simon.
We are about to start watching Love, Simon.
But before we actually start our episode of Love, Simon, this is a film that I have seen. But this is a film that the Greasy Rapidian had never seen before, rounding out a trilogy of movies that were new to you.
I'm filling in a gigantic blind spot, and now it is no longer a blind spot. I've seen three movies that I had not seen before.
So, before we jump into the movie, I think that you have some predictions to make about what you think this movie is about.
Well, yeah, it's true, because there was a new episode of Amber Says What? Oh.
Some people were like, what? And I was like, oh, what?
Can you do her what from this previous episode?
The new episode? What was
it?
What
from the new episode? It was her Oscars theme.
I know, but I didn't see any of the movies, and so I can't even think of how the song goes, because wasn't she Lady Gaga singing?
She was doing a Lady Gaga from A Star Is Born impression.
I have not seen any of the Oscar. I think I saw Black Panther.
Yeah.
It was the only Oscar movie that I saw.
But Amber Ruffin, national treasure, again.
Make the alarm clock.
Oh, man. This is such a good business idea.
It's a great idea.
Okay. We'll get her.
Anyway, Amber, someday. Call us.
Call us,
let
Amber.
Us know how we can get the alarm clock. And then we go to the segment of Greasy Rapidian or the American Jezebel Says What?
The greasy Rapidian says, "What is this movie about?" So this movie I have not seen, and I know very little about it. So I think that I've heard that it is a gay, male gay rom-com. And then the other piece of information I think I have is that there's a little bit of a mystery in it. And so what I'm going to say this is a high school drama, and it is a case of mistaken identity that, so it's called Love, Simon. So I'm thinking Simon sends a letter, a love letter, and he sends it to a girl that he loves, but it mistakenly goes to a boy who loves him. And then shenanigans ensue as he can't understand why she isn't falling for him, but then the other guy is going to help him find her love, but in the same time he realizes that Simon's in love with him, and so because of social constructs they have to pretend like Simon is in love with a girl, but Simon's really in love with the guy. And then in the end, Simon does fall for the guy, because over the course of him trying to pretend to help him to find the girl, he actually realizes he does love that guy. That's what I'm going to go with.
As always, nailed it.
Well, we don't know yet. We're about to find out.
No, I nailed it. Absolutely.
We're just going to see everything you predicted come true in this movie right now. We're about to watch your predictions unfold perfectly.
That's correct.
Yeah. And before we get into the movie, we'd also like to say that this episode is sponsored by Dave's Total Insanity Sauce.
Total Insanity.
Have they been a sponsor of us before? Has he
they
sponsored
have.
Us before? He's been a pre-sponsor?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
The Sappy Sexualized?
Yes, the Sapiosexualized.
Sapiosexualized.
Is a big fan of it. Thinks that it's hotter than a ghost pepper sauce that he also has.
Oh.
So, if hot sauces are your thing, which we hope so, because hot sauces are our thing here over at Talkin' Nonsense HQ, then you should try Dave's Total Insanity Sauce.
Yeah, the other night I just ate it on chips.
Yeah. If you need to clear out your sinuses, just eat it on chips, preferably Red Hot Blues or whatever
super
delicious hot chips. Love those chips.
Yeah.
Or if you like a nice flavor to go with your hotness, you know, it's not just straight spice here. They're not just trying to burn your tongue off. It's got a delicious garlic flavor to it as well. So it's delicious and spicy.
It is. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Being a future sponsor two times in our 15 episodes.
So thank you, Dave.
All right. And so I'm going to be eating my breakfast right now. So I'm having an omelet, some tater tots, and some bacon. So if you hear any lip smacking, that's what's going on.
So this is a true ASMR.
This is.
Video.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then another thing we have to do, since this is live and direct, you know what live and direct means.
I do know what it means now.
We have to do what we watched before.
Oh, yeah.
Before we watch.
Before we watch it. Yeah. So what did you watch before, Greasy Rapidian?
So what I watched before, I watched the Netflix movie, The Breaker Uppers.
Okay.
And so it was just goofy comedy fun. These two New Zealanders, you know, and there's just these pals, and they have a business breaking up couples where one of the partners doesn't know how to break up. So they have all these costumes and scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, one of them falls in love with one of the clients who happens to be 17 years old.
Oh, no.
And so moves into his house with his mother.
Oh, no.
Oh, it just goes on and on. And then it just kind of abruptly ends.
Huh.
And so there you go. So it was.
So how do you think it might influence your viewing?
Well, it was a no-brainer. you know.
Okay.
She has a Tinder date with Jermaine from Flight of the Conchords, which was probably one of the great parts of the movie because it was him being Jermaine.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
beautiful.
Yeah. But other than that, just no thought whatsoever.
So it was a bit of a palate cleanser for you.
It was a total palate cleanser.
Your heart is not aching for Moonlight still.
Oh my God, that was an achy movie.
Yes. Okay, now you've been palate cleansed
completely,
for Love, Simon.
Completely palate cleansed. This was a much better palate cleanser than Be Somebody.
Okay.
So if you're looking for a movie that you must bring no thought to, this is the one.
Okay. Well, I guess I kind of did something similar, because what I've been watching before is I am rewatching, because I've already seen it, the HBO miniseries Big Little Lies, which is about a bit of a soapy drama, murder, and the wealthiest wealthy of California, and the mom drama between all of them. So it's a kind of prestige TV, but also very soapy. So I think I'm going in with not a lot of background or having watched something very intense or very terrible either. I don't think I'm really primed in a specific direction right now.
All right.
So, I think that being said, should we start Love, Simon?
I think let's fire up Love, Simon.
All right. And I will tell you, because this is, again, in my wheelhouse, Love, Simon was, I think, directed by Greg Berlanti, who is famous for all of the TV on the CW. He makes shows like The Flash, and he executive produced Riverdale. So he's, yes, he's very famous for a lot of teen TV.
Oh, Jennifer Garner.
Jennifer Garner is his mom.
And this is our guy from Kings of Summer?
It is.
Is he like a baby in this?
Is he a baby? No, he's supposed to be like 17.
He looks so much younger.
Than he did in Kings of Summer?
He's
the main guy.
Oh.
So he's just like us in that his dad was a handsome quarterback who married a valedictorian and they're too super in love.
Oh, a little food fight right away.
I always get mad at food fights. It's your girl from Dude.
What?
Isn't that the girl from Dude?
Which one is she from Dude?
She was the other friend. I'm pretty sure that's the same girl.
Which one? Right there?
Yeah. Is that the same girl?
Oh, she had such a short haircut in Dude.
She did, yeah.
It looks like her.
I'm pretty sure it is. Look at his room. He's completely normal, except...
What's his secret?
What is his secret?
I don't know, but I'm loving the movie already. Uh-oh. Is this going to be like, but I'm a cheerleader?
Uh-huh.
And he's going to be doing a bunch of obscene yard tools? Hey, isn't that North Dakota's favorite son?
North Dakota's favorite. The face of North Dakota? Yes. In fact, it is. Oh, Mom, you're so cliche.
She's just giving him a big glass of sugar.
This is sponsored by Big Orange Juice.
What's his secret?
What is his big-ass secret? Everything is completely normal. Did you not have this childhood? That your dad was the quarterback and your mom was a valedictorian and they're beautiful and in love and have a great house and you have your own car.
Something like that.
What do you think his secret is?
I don't know what Simon's secret is. He wants to be a landscaper?
This is a movie about class struggle, of the expectations that his upper middle class parents placed on him. Yes, Alexander Shipp. It's definitely the same girl. That's her. How do you say his name? Josh Duhamel? Duhamel?
Duhamel.
Duhamel? Is that it?
Well, there's a guy that won the poker championship a while back who was a Duhamel. Doing what?
Uh-oh. Somebody gave somebody an HJ in the pool.
The old HJ.
Do you sense drama a-brewing amongst the friends? Mm-hmm. How much do you think that... Do you think they split the coffees every day? Because that's got to be like $20 a day in coffee if you're buying four. Well, look at all these friends.
Just jamming to their mix.
Is this what the teens are jamming to now? Uh-oh. This is like trope watch, the like establishing shots of the high school. Like, here are the teens on their phones. Here's the teens making out. It's like Sex Education all over again.
I can only hope our guy in the yellow tennis shoes shows up.
Oh, our favorite extra. What if he was an extra in this too?
Oh, I could only hope.
Oh, let's keep an eye out for him, because that would be amazing. Homophobia is alive and well. 2018.
Do people still use the word fag?
I'm going to say probably yes. But I don't know that teens do. I don't know.
I can't remember the last time I heard it.
Oh, man.
Hey!
It's Tony Hale. Everybody is in this movie. So he is he's not the caring teacher stereotype. He's the over-eager vice principal type.
Vice president? Is he vice?
I think president? He's a vice. He's vice principal. I'm pretty. What is that kid's haircut? Whew.
He's taking people's phones in high school?
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. He just couldn't take enough. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, what's happening?
Trope watch, the mom is a therapist. Are all moms in teen movies therapists?
The old uncomfortable talk about gays.
Yep, the old... low-level homophobia from the dad. Wait, they won't show their daughter the affair, but they're going to watch The Americans?
Monster ballad.
Also, I think he went to the Greasy Rapidian School of Editing.
No, I don't use the broken glass.
Do you use the heart one?
Only with Cosmo the cat.
Ooh, topical. Snap. You can tell the Bill Cosby references means this movie came out in 2018. But he's also a cool teen because he has a record player.
And he's listening to the Kinks.
There's a post about a closeted gay kid. I don't know why their dog is named after Justin Bieber. Uh-oh.
Oh, this is like ringing a bell. This
is
a book?
Have you seen this? Yeah, it was a book. Did you read this book?
I'm thinking I might have read this
book. Where did you read this
when
book?
When I was taking my introduction to juvenile fiction.
The book is called Simon versus the Homo Sapien Agenda.
Yes!
You read this book? So now you know what's going to be.
I hated the book.
Oh, man. Well, now you're going to watch the film version. They changed the name for the movie.
Oh, absolutely hated the book.
Oh, no. Oh, no. This shifts things entirely for you in the watching.
Oh, I'm going back to eating.
Why did you hate the book?
Because the whole mystery is just stupid. Who cares if some kid is gay at school? Huh?
Well, it's making Simon rethink things. He's giving this kid a lot of personal information. How hard would it be to figure out whose dad was a quarterback?
I've repressed this whole book.
Okay, so do you remember who the other gay kid was?
I can't remember now. I was so disinterested in this whole thing.
Your entire posture about this movie has shifted too.
I've moved away from the microphone. Oh,
he's a Hufflepuff? I'm always so curious about like the production of these things. Like, who was in charge of, like, decorating his room to be like, this is what a teen these days would be into? This room is crazy.
The other thing that's crazy is how little recollection I have of the book.
Okay, so you don't even remember who the mystery love interest is.
I remember just being so disappointed by the whole darn god thing.
Mm.
You're not? You like this?
I'm not saying anything until we get through more of it. I feel very neutral about it right now. We keep getting people who are, like, very concerned with what time it is. We had the whole, is it midnight and Call Me By Your Name, and now we're getting a lot of shots of clocks in this movie already, too.
I thought they weren't supposed to have their phones in school.
Oh. They're not. He's getting his phone confiscated. Does he have an email? Probably not. They've been at school all day where there's no service. He does have an email. What time of year is it? They had school and then they had play practice and it still looks like it's like 2 in the afternoon. Don't put a period after your name.
When you're Jacques, you do.
That's how French people do it. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a Bob's Burgers fan. Tina Belcher. I guess it's the fall because they're going to have Halloween happen. This vice principal needs to relax. Whew. And not overshare with his students. He made a big mistake. What was the mistake that he made? Number one lesson of this movie. I'm going to call it right now. The number one lesson of this movie is do not forget to sign out of your email on public computers.
Uh-oh. What?
Because then dirtbags like this dude will see it.
Is that the actor?
Yeah. It's the cabaret guy who's really into the Abbey. We had an agree to disagree in the movie.
And it was used appropriately. There he is.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Is that him?
Yeah. It's absolutely him. That's him.
This is Keenan Lonsdale, who is on another CW show. In real life, he's Australian. I'm just going to give you fun facts.
It's him.
Is it him?
It is. Totally.
You're him. Calling it right now?
Yeah.
You don't think it's the... So I'm gonna trope watch here. Teachers have sad lives is the trope here. The vice principal is a sad and needy person, and then she's like a sassy and sad person. Oh, I have a terrible love life and I'm stuck here with you teens all the time.
And what about the math teacher?
Yeah, the math teacher just seems so beaten down by life. And here they are at what seems to be a very nice suburban public school.
He's making his move.
Uh-oh. The shenanigans of this movie are starting.
Oh, I'm remembering now.
Hey, I used the computer in the library right after you. So you'd be interested to know my brother's gay. No.
Is that the I have black friends of homophobia? Is it? It's all coming back to you now?
Not all of it, but it's coming back in segments, and I'm remembering how little I liked it.
And even the presence of Jennifer Garner cannot shake it. The shenanigans have begun. We're into teen blackmail now.
Maybe he needs to talk to Otis on sex education.
He does. Because I think Otis would give him a much stronger response. What's going on with the dynamics here in this friend group? Oh, that is a travesty. They microwaved a frozen pizza.
Who's that?
I invited Mark.
Lord,
why?
Is this a make-a-wish situation?
Maybe the line of the movie right there. The best okay. line of the movie.
That maybe. We actually really chuckled at that. Honestly, that is very familiar. That reaction. Trouble is a brewing. Also topical.
Very topical movie.
Yeah, this is a very 2018 movie. We got a Bill Cosby burn. We got post-presidency Obama. Oh, no. We got a Meghan Trainor karaoke.
I can only hope there's kombucha at this party.
Oh. Oh, man.
Oh, empty cup acting.
Yep. Well, how much liquid was supposed to be in there?
Oh, she's getting after it, Wonder Woman. This is not going to be good. Oh, I got a bad
feeling.
Okay,
skeleton extra is my new favorite person. Okay.
Oh, I saw.
See if we can see him dancing in the background. There he is.
Oh, yeah.
I love skeleton extra. Oh, I also like Crayon Girl. Look at Crayon Girl in the back.
Oh, is she dancing with skeleton?
No, they're near each other, though. I hope that that's the romance of this movie. Crayon Girl and skeleton. This is a moral dilemma that Simon is not... An ethical dilemma that Simon made not a great choice on. Because it's leading him to make a lot more poor choices.
When it mattered most.
Yeah, what is the character that he's showing?
A complete lack of character.
Oof. Is this how men flirt? They just do a lot of complicated handshakes? This is how young teen gays flirt. Ugh, all of his, like, writing, all the chalkboard writing on the walls. It just says Radiohead. And, like, think. It's like a set designer goes through and is like, oh, what would a teenage boy write on his walls? Radiohead. Is Whitney Houston a gay icon? Is she? Is this like a piece I'm missing? I like the... Wait, so the vision of what being college gay is that you do a lot of musical numbers in like La La Land style bright colors. Oh no, he said love shock! Crisis. Wow, we've skipped from Halloween to Christmas. Wait, I'm confused. So literally, it was the night of Halloween that he emailed him, and now they're all talking about their Christmas plans because it's November 1st? I'm so confused. How much time is passing? Is it Christmas? Was that yesterday? The whole Martin of it all really makes it rough. The fact that the shenanigans is predicated on blackmail. A new candidate for the mystery. Oh, he's got a Panic at the Disco poster in his bathroom still. Also, who puts posters in their bathroom? That would just get so warped so quickly and just fall off the mirror. That is not a real thing. Is it a sticker? No, it's a poster. Okay, real question. Do you think that he actually thinks that Leah likes Nick?
What was your question?
You really tired right now?
I'm tired of this movie. Live and direct.
Do you think that Simon actually believes that Leah likes Nick? Because he said in his email to Blue, I think my friend is in love with our other friend and he doesn't know. So does he honestly believe that that Leah likes Nick? Or is he just doing it to keep them apart?
No, I think he was talking about Nick and Abby.
Oh. No, but he said, my friend is in love with our other friend, and he doesn't know.
I think he thinks Abby liked...
Oh, okay.
Nick.
Trope watch the homecoming game. Important things happening at the homecoming game. Although this seems to be more real that there's like nobody there. Oh, I guess people are showing up. Also, the Waffle House guy's name is Lyle. Who is named Lyle? Have you met a Lyle in person? Who is named Lyle? Please call in if your name is Lyle.
Loving the name Lyle.
That guy's name is not Lyle. No. There is no way.
Kyle.
That
it's
guy's
Kyle.
Name is like Brayden or like.
Mm-hmm.
No, that guy's, yeah.
Cody.
Yeah, that is a Cody if I ever saw one. Everybody loves Abby.
I love Abby.
I do too. Do you have a star by far? So far?
Yellow sweater is a yeah, skeleton dancer.
I do love skeleton crayon and yellow vest. How much time is passing? Is it Christmas? Is it Hanukkah? Is it Halloween? It's all three in the same 3 days.
But it's homecoming as well.
It's homecoming, but that's after Halloween and also after the fake Hanukkah that Blue has. Blue's Hanukkah is right after Halloween, yet homecoming hasn't happened. Oh, Tony Hale, I hope you made so much money from this role. It's so thankless. We got to the trope watch public humiliation part of the movie.
Three and a half months ago.
When is it? When in time are things happening?
September, October, okay. November. Says the middle of
so
December.
So they say we can just ignore the public humiliation happening. They say that the mystery of this movie is who is Blue. The real mystery of this movie is how does time work in this movie universe? When it mattered most. Did Abby show an abundance of character?
Absolutely. She was gentle to him.
She was. But she didn't say yes just to get out of the moment.
No.
New candidate. 2 weeks in a cabin with your dad? David Bowie has a little drummer boy.
We are so listening to
things we have learned from this movie.
Uh-huh.
David Bowie has a...
The Ramones.
This is one...
You're
the
a
mom
mean...
is hanging mistletoe in their house.
You're a
oh,
mean
so
man.
Oh, so she can make out with North Dakota's own Josh Duhamel.
The Ramones did a You're a Mean Man, Mr. Grinch. We got a couple of Christmas songs
we
to
do.
Listen to.
Yeah. Maybe Simon's greatest strength is making Christmas playlists. It is not responding to blackmail. Oh no, he's starting to hallucinate.
I'm worried about Simon.
Yeah, he's really
sees
losing
dead
it.
People.
What if that's the pivot this movie took at this point? It turns out none of these people are alive. Oh man. Oh man. Oh.
No kiss action
nope.
happened.
Nope.
Not in his contract.
How old is the sister supposed to be? Is she on the high school's like secrets page?
I thought she was like a junior high or a
yeah,
elementary school
not,
kid cooking.
If
he, and then
she's,
all of a sudden she's like a freshman or something.
Yeah, but that can't be right because wouldn't he drive her to school? That's really rude if he doesn't take his sister to school and they go to the same high school.
Well, she's on a different schedule.
She's on the noon to five schedule, like someone's schedule from freshman year of high school.
She's at home watching American Graffiti.
She's watching him. Oh, no, now he's making his sister cry?
I know.
Oh,
how could you make
man.
Anybody in that family cry?
This family is like, oh, my God. Oh, his friend is so nice. Did you see the message that his friend sent him? Hey, dude, want to go for a walk? That's so Nick. Even though he's gaslighting everybody. Not about being gay, but as part of the blackmail scheme. Uh-oh. The Ramones won't fix this. Oh, no, he's going to see Radiohead in April.
April 2nd. Which is probably right now.
Yeah, because time is not real. No, it's Christmas now.
Yeah, but I think Christmas happens in April for this family.
There are like so many presents that they're in the back corner. Look at how many presents there are.
The extended family is coming over.
Oh, like that. Yeah.
Look at, she looks like she's 20 now.
Because time doesn't exist. She's just fluctuating in age. Maybe I should rethink all those homophobic jokes I've been making for the last 17 years of your life.
She just told her dad to shut the hell up. Where did dad go?
Yeah.
Dad gets banned from the room?
How do they not already have one of those? This is a real thing, though. I learned this from Queer Eye, that you have to learn to dress in your... how you have to sort of explore your identity as a gay man. And so Anthony once wore, like, a lot of tiny short shorts because he thought that's how gay guys should dress. And you have to sort of figure it out over time. Does this daughter get up at, like, 5 in the morning every morning to make elaborate breakfast that nobody eats?
What do you mean that's Kim X?
How many?
That's Dave's Insanity Sauce.
Oh, Dave's. Our sponsor Dave's is in it. No, it's like that Louisiana one.
It is, but I was hopeful.
Oh, let's say it was Dave's.
It was.
We can rewrite parts of this movie.
Oh, they're talking about it.
Uh-oh. Everybody is speaking some truths to Simon.
Mm-hmm.
Setting people up to get hurt. Except his dad, who was just left the room when he told them that he was gay.
No, he made a joke about a unibrow or something.
Yeah.
Oh, look, everybody's looking at him.
It's the classic moment when the main character has lost everything. His friends.
Not the vice principal.
Oh, no, even the vice principal. Oh, no, where will Simon sit now that he has no friends?
Oh, he's going to have to sit with the gay ones.
Also, I don't know what this gentleman's name is, but that is his... He is also in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend as a pretzel vendor, and he is delightful in it. So I feel bad that I don't know his name, but he is also great in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and has quite a bit more to do than he does here. People who I want to see this movie from the perspective of... Ethan.
I think it's after Christmas. Blue isn't back yet.
I know. I think Blue's getting back now. Because again, 2 weeks have gone by very quickly where, again, no time had gone.
Oh, there he's going to the coffee shop.
Oh no, he's only getting one iced coffee. It's going to be so sad. Oh, it's a single iced coffee. Oh, there's nothing sadder than a single iced coffee in a Subaru. Okay, a lesson that people do not learn from this movie is grand romantic gestures are not a good idea. Because he is about to not learn that lesson. Don't do a grand gesture! Uh-oh, here we go. This is the scene they played in Riverdale. When they heavily promoted this on the TV show Riverdale. That then allowed characters to talk about their own queer identities. It was for this scene that Jennifer Garner signed on to this movie. Because she was like, you get to give the empathetic scene of the mom who understands and loves her gay son. At least she didn't write a book proposal based on his adolescent sexuality. What has he done so far in this movie?
Let's see. He's lied to his friends.
Uh-huh. He emotionally manipulated them.
Yeah.
He set all of them up to be unhappy.
Yeah.
In order to protect his secret.
Yep.
Oh, she's got a dog, too. You know what I just thought? Like, they're so aggressively normal. Why don't they have a golden retriever?
Why don't?
Why is it a tiny dog?
That's a great walking dog. Look at that.
Yeah,
dog.
That is a great dog. I also really liked her last outfit was my favorite outfit of the movie so far.
That was a good
The, like,
outfit.
Black turtleneck with the turned-up collar on the cool jean jacket and the little skirt with the belt.
Yeah.
That was a great outfit.
All right, the dog is leading my story by far. That was a great walking dog.
Mm-hmm. Tell it, Leah.
Don't fall for it, Leah. Who is she killing?
The hetero version of him.
Oh.
I hate his sweatshirt so much. It's the worst outfit of the movie. I hate that, like, fleece-lined sweatshirt. Oh no. Now he gets to have an emotional conversation with his dad. He's just making the tour.
Yeah.
He literally has not talked to his dad in 3 weeks. Time has no meaning in this movie.
Well, I think the dad's taking down the Christmas
jacket.
Do they live
on, like, an estate? What is this back part? Ugh.
Please tell the Daniel Radcliffe dream story.
North Dakota zone, Josh Duhamel. The former Mr. Fergie. Look, even men can cry and be emotional. That's the message of this movie, too.
He was married to Fergie.
He was.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who shot their home videos?
Who did shoot their home videos?
They're beautiful. And the sister's just forgiven him, too. They didn't even have a conversation. This is where people do not learn that romantic gestures are a bad idea.
How old is she?
How old is she? She is either 9 or 27. Okay, that might have been my favorite line of the movie. That was 100% my favorite line of the movie.
Did you even use the ladder? What was our previous favorite line?
It was Leah. Is this a make-a-wish type moment? No, did you even use the ladder is my favorite.
I'm going with, did you even use this? Is this a make-a-wish? Is this a make-a-wish moment when
okay.
Martin is coming with them?
Okay, I'm going with Leah's outfit when they're mad at him is my favorite outfit of the movie. And that was my favorite line. They're still rehearsing for the play? How long has this play been going on?
It's cabaret. It's
honestly
difficult. It's a difficult piece.
They started the play in September and it's now January?
Yeah.
They did 6 months and he's still eating Halloween Oreos. What is the timeline of this? Wow. They put together a good sign.
Look at that auditorium.
Look at that stage.
I know. Ridiculous.
Okay. So he is friends again with Leah, but he's made no effort to be friends again with the other people that he emotionally manipulated.
That's
so
correct.
He's just going to be like sad and sullen over there. No! No!
Why does it...
No! He didn't even apologize.
He didn't do anything.
He didn't even do nothing.
Okay,
not only did he had no actions to do this, and then he didn't even apologize.
No.
Oh my God. He didn't even say he was sorry.
No.
Oh my God. And now it's an outdoor carnival in January, or maybe it's June. Who knows? They're just eating Halloween Oreos and doing the play 8 months later. Oh, God. Again. Romantic gestures are a terrible idea. Okay. How casually homophobic are teens today?
I have lots of questions about what
happened. Is that the casual homophobia of today's teens? Who is that girl? Oh, yay. What's his face is here. So he's just riding the Ferris wheel for hours, and a crowd has gathered to watch him ride the Ferris wheel. Which, again, let's point out, he has not apologized to his friends.
No.
For any of the stuff he pulled. Okay, I have a new theory.
Okay.
I'll share it at the end. Oh my God. No, just go away. No. No. Oh my God. Just when I thought I could not hate Martin Moore.
$3
for a one ride? How much does it cost to ride a Ferris wheel?
How long did they stand there and watch him go around? What?
Are you shocked?
No.
It was Bram? It was Bram all along? Walk away, was... Bram. Find somebody else.
Look at how shocked they
look
are.
Look at how nice your hair is. God. No. Go back to being Wally West on The Flash.
And I haven't said anything to her since then.
Yeah, probably not, because we're both sociopaths. That's why we love each other, because we both are sociopaths. No. To profess your love in front of the entire school, there's no other way you could have done this that wasn't everybody watching.
Oh, my goodness.
In front of everybody! Can you imagine if your first kiss was a choreographed thing in front of your entire high school?
You are thinking my first kiss wasn't.
Is this the story we're going to hear at the end of this? Is you're going to say that you actually lived this plot, except it was a straight version of Love, Simon?
And it was notes that were passed. Not emails. Graduation!
What
happened to prom? That's my only question.
Nothing happened to prom. Okay, wait, it's 17 days until graduation, but they're still talking about Cabaret, which was in January. So was Cabaret in May? This poor daughter that literally gets up at like 5 in the morning to make elaborate breakfast before middle school.
She's 12. She's 12 in the morning and she's like 17 in the evening.
She's living a Russian doll scenario except she doesn't die. She just like regenerates. She's living like individual days of Benjamin Buttoning.
I think she's like an hour. An hour equals a year. So every night at midnight, she gets born again. And by breakfast time, she's 10 years old. And then in the evening when she talks to him, she's 18 or 19. Ooh, things are tough in high school, Simon.
Oh, my God.
And then she's 24.
So that's why she read The Krieg Secrets, because by the end of the day, she's in high school.
Oh, at the end of the day, she's 24. And then she dies, and she's back to zero in the beginning.
Look, they have a fifth person in their car now.
No room.
Wow.
Wait, Leah, giving up your seat?
Yep.
She's sitting in the back.
This is very... She just curls up in the bottom.
You don't have a partner? You get in the hatch.
Yes. Yeah. You're single? Oh, boo. Uh-huh. Get in the back. Get in the back.
Oh, it looks like somebody graffitied on the school wall.
It's a callback to be somebody. Okay. Do you want to hear my theory about this whole thing?
Okay, we can shut off. We don't need to listen to whatever this nonsense is.
Okay. So, this movie was directed by Greg Berlanti, who is famous for doing CW things, but is also famous for being a writer on Dawson's Creek, the seminal teens show of the late 90s, early 2000s. And Greg Berlanti was a writer on Dawson's Creek. And my theory is that Dawson of Dawson's Creek is the villain of the show that is ostensibly about him, right? I think Dawson of Dawson's Creek is a raging sociopath, and I would not be shocked out to find he has done many crimes. Love, Simon is a retread of Dawson's Creek. Simon, the movie is ostensibly about Simon, but Simon is a sociopath who does nothing but emotionally manipulate the people around him. And all of the secondary characters are genuinely good people who are just trying to live their lives, and they're just being like constantly... And then Leah is a classic Katie Holmes character who just puts up with this terrible boy because she's known him forever, which is exactly the plot line of Dawson's Creek. So Greg Berlanti just likes to write shows that are about sociopaths.
But he didn't write Simon versus the Homo sapiens.
No, he just made it into the movie.
Who did write Simon versus the Homo
sapiens? That's a good question. I do not know. It is a
15-year-old girl.
I do not know. That's a good question though. So who do you think this movie is for?
That is a good question.
Do you think teens would be into this movie?
I have no idea.
Because it feels like it's trying very hard to appeal to teenagers. But do you think the teens would actually like this movie?
No.
I think this movie is for adults. And I think this movie is also like, again, I've said it before when I've told people what this movie is. I said, what if everything was aggressively normal, but you were gay? Like, that's like, oh, I have the perfect family and I have like the perfect friend group and everything is great except that I'm gay. And then through a series of blackmail and emotional manipulation, you just get that all back, except now everyone knows that you're gay. And now everything again is aggressively normal, which means that being gay can be aggressively normal. We can just incorporate that because, you know, we're not going to worry about, you know, oh, Simon is very like, you would be surprised to learn that he's gay because he seems so normal, right? And the person who isn't that is Ethan in the movie because he's much more feminine presenting. He's queer and he's black and he is so clearly identified as gay and has been out for so long, you know, like we're not going to, oh no, he's really this other vision of what being gay is like, but our movie is going to follow Simon, who is aggressively normal, except that he's gay. This is the Greg Berlanti doing the first gay kiss on network television, which is just like a little peck. It's like, oh, like, look, here we can just make this thing mainstream. And this is for mainstream audiences.
Hmm.
That's what I think was behind. Like, we're going to take the format of a To All the Boys I've Loved shenanigans, high school poppy little soundtrack, but we're gonna just make it gay.
So I think I'm struggling with this movie, I'm just telling you.
Okay,
this is not what I thought it was gonna be. And now, you know, when you said, when I recognized the emails in blue, I was like, uh-huh. Wait, I think I read this. And then I was worried that I had forgotten that I might have actually liked the book, because there was a lot of books I read in my introduction to children's literature that I actually did really like. And I was like, huh, did I just forget it and I didn't like it? But then as it started unfolding, I was like, oh, I really did not like this. Uh-huh. And so who was it made for? And then I'm going to tell you what my theory about what the movie is.
Okay.
And so I think it was made
for... I'm guessing it does not involve Dawson's parallels to Dawson's Creek.
It does not, and it does not inspire me to ever watch any part of Dawson's Creek.
No, I don't recommend.
No, but I do recommend Roswell. If you just want cheesy old 80s, you know, teen dramas, Roswell kills it. Okay, I think this was made for adults who are gay, who came out in the 80s and 90s. Mm. And it was much harder to come out in the 80s and 90s. Mm. And so they've only set it in modern times so that they could sell it to kids, hopefully, to young people. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't really geared towards them because, again, the movie has serious time problems. And so it seems like the jokes, the attitudes, all of those seem like, you know, mid to late 80s attitudes and jokes. Because I just can't imagine a young person in, I don't know where they were, California, who knows where they were.
I think they're supposed to be in Georgia.
They're supposed to be in Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can't imagine. Maybe in Georgia I can imagine, but...
The dad's wearing like a Georgia shirt.
But that could be anything, right?
No, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be there.
Okay, well, maybe I can imagine in Georgia. But it's just like, you know, where we're living, I just can't imagine kids going, oh, somebody in the school is gay. Who is the gay student? And that's the big mystery in the school. Mm-hmm. Like, people would be checking their email all the time to find out who the gay student is. I just cannot imagine that holds any drama in today's world. This is made for adults who are saying, wow, when I was in high school, it was hard being gay. And so it's set in modern times, but it's for adults to go, yeah, boy, that was nice, my experience. And okay, and then what's the message of this movie? Being gay is the ultimate get out of jail free card. Why were you so mean to your friends? I couldn't help it. I'm gay.
I love this boy. Oh, okay, tell me about him. Yeah. I can't believe
I treated
you, never...
you so poorly. I can't apologize because I did what I did was so nobody knew I was gay. Don't you understand? I had to hide my gayness, and so I had to mistreat everyone around me. Okay, you want to go to the carnival with us? Oh my God.
He never
made my sister cry, made her cuss out my dad.
Ooh, on Christmas.
Uh-huh. And, well, you know, the reason is it's because I'm gay. Oh, in that case, it's okay.
I cannot get over the fact that he never even apologized. They just talk to him about how much he hurt them. And then he just, like, gets in his car and is like, and then ignores them for months until they, 4 years, who knows? Yeah. Time has no meaning here. And then they come to him. Did he even apologize to Leah? When they were talking, I don't even know if he apologized
just explained
or he
again.
Was just like, oh, it's because I'm in love with him. What? Mm-hmm. I don't care.
And I told Abby,
if
not
you're in
you,
love,
because
that doesn't mean you get to be a dick to everybody.
It would have been harder for me to tell you than Abby. That's why I didn't tell you. Oh, okay.
Yeah. The core problem of this movie is Simon himself. Again, sorry, this is my theory.
Martin adds a little bit of problem.
Martin is also universally terrible.
Yeah.
Even at the end.
Yeah.
Like, is that supposed to be his, like, triumphant moment where he comes back
yes.
and he's like,
I'll stick up for him.
Yeah. But then he just, like, lies as a kind of joke that it's him. But that's just also hurtful. Oh. Martin and Simon, peas in a pod in terms of blackmail and manipulation.
I guess Martin actually said, I'm sorry, I didn't know that it would be this bad.
Yeah.
So he actually...
Even though he lives in this the world of this movie, that there are athletes walking around just being like actively terrible to the out gay kids in the school. And
the teacher can go to a student and say, listen, you assholes.
You're going to be a bald and sad person.
Listen, you sweaty virgins. You're going to die bald, fat virgins. Yeah, I don't think teachers can actually say that. I'm just going to say.
It's a bit of a problematic takedown of them, you know? Just like, you guys are sad and sick and terrible, as opposed to just like, again, don't be dicks. The message of this movie. Don't be a dick to people. Yeah.
And being a dick to a gay kid is unacceptable.
Yeah.
But being a dick to a dick.
Totally acceptable. Yeah.
So it's just it isn't being a dick isn't the problem. The problem is who you're being a dick to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then if you do it again,
because Simon,
you never need
total
to apologize.
Dick.
Yeah.
Total dick. And so,
was there an instance when he did something good in this movie, like where he had some kind of behavior that you were like, okay, yes, like that is a positive action that Simon took?
No. No, I'm having trouble coming up with anything.
Yeah.
that is remotely.
He helped his dad with his terrible movie. Yeah.
That was a stretch. We really had to go deep to find something, you know? And again, it's just like, why does Bram love him?
Why? I don't know. It seems like, I don't know. Why are there so many movies where people fall in love with people like over email, like without knowing them? Like, why is that a rom-com trope?
Yeah.
Because like, how often does that happen and then the person shows up in real life and they are not the person you expected?
I think the whole Catfish show is based
on it. Right? But that's like, you've got mail and all of these things are just about people falling in love when they don't actually know each other. This is why I think my podcast shout out for this episode
Thank
is
going
to be listen to the rom-com episode of This American Life, because this is ostensibly a rom-com, this movie.
This is absolutely a rom-com.
And I would say go and listen to the rom-com episode of This American Life, because it has both a really... honestly, there was a story that I started tearing up, and it's about a real-life story of a man rushing to tell somebody that he loves them, and it's a really nice story, and I highly recommend it. And it's just like a very real story, and it's based on people who know each other really well, and he's just super, super in love with this woman. Anyway, just listen to the story. I don't want to ruin it. Okay. And it also is kind of the framing device of the whole episode is about how one of their producers loves rom-coms, and he thinks When Harry Met Sally is the perfect rom-com, and When Harry Met Sally is all about these two people talking. Like, that's what the whole thing is built around, mm-hmm. is like them talking and knowing each other over all of these years, mm-hmm. and the only thing that really stands in their way is not shenanigans or blackmail or anything else, but it's them seeing that they love each other,
mm-hmm.
And so I highly recommend the episode, and it is individually like four rom-coms inside of a radio episode, and it's a much better rom-com than this. Alexandra Shipp, I'm so glad that you were in Dude, because I'm sure you had way more fun with that, and I hope you get better roles in the future. Yeah. Abby was a good ray of sunshine inside of the movie.
As was Nick.
And I also want to say Keenan Lonsdale, who is Bram, he is on a couple of other CW shows, including The Flash, where he is Kid Flash, Wally West, and he is much better there. So he also deserves better roles. So, okay.
Brutal.
Well, and I would say person I want to see, I would rather see this movie from the perspective of, well, either Abby, because that sounds like a compelling movie about a girl who has to move from D.C. with her mom to Georgia, and she shows up to the school, and then it turns out the guy she befriends is a sociopath. Yeah. That would be a good movie. And then he tries to use his gayness as a way to get out of his being a sociopath and a dick. Or I would watch the movie about Ethan's life. I would much rather see what is his life like, where he actually has to navigate also not being a dick to people because he's not trying to hide his gayness by blackmail.
Okay, I'm going to go with, I would like to see the movie from the perspective of the piano player.
Oh, yeah. He was also a nice guy. He was not a dick, right?
He was not a dick.
Because when Simon's like, are you blue? He's like, no, I'm really sorry, but I know you've had a hard time. Do you want to talk? He didn't just say like, no, gross, I'm not gay. He was really nice.
I think it's going to be Mrs. Holland's Opus. Because that's the teacher. The music teacher is Mrs. Holland.
And she just hates her job. And she hates children. Verbally abuses them.
Producing trashy musicals that no high school kid ever wants to see. And falls in love with the young piano player.
Oh, no.
And he wants to go from Georgia to New York.
There's so many better movies inside of this movie.
And he tells her, come with me. And then he's waiting at the bus, and she shows up and says, I can't go with you.
Oh.
I think it's Mrs. Holland's Opus.
Oh, man. Ugh.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Okay, I think that this movie also... I think this falls in the set it up world. where there are bits of it that are like charming, and there are bits like there are certain characters that are charming, and there are like certain moments that are sweet. And I think like the scene where he comes out to his friend is like the, I think, one of the better scenes of the movie, even though it involves Simon, who's a massive asshole. But I think that's one of the better scenes in the movie, because it's honestly sweet. And I think it seemed much more genuine, and it wasn't involved in the blackmail shenanigans and emotional manipulation, or the everything is normal and we are perfect of his like home life. And I thought that, you know, him saying, were you surprised? No. Oh, you knew? No. All of that conversation. And then just like, well, she was very charming in the scene, and her just, you know, she's not trying to over explain things or be like, it's okay that you're gay. She's just like, I love you. Okay, bye. I thought that that was honestly a very sweet scene. So there were individually moments that were fine inside of it. It didn't have quite the like second writer on the grassy knoll of set it up. And that was because the only main character was not charming in the way that the set it up one was. So it wasn't pulled down by a bad love interest. It was pulled down by a bad main character. But I think there were individually a few sweet and good moments. And so I do want to shout out that scene, because I think that that was one of the better scenes of the entire movie. But I think that it's one, if I had watched The Kissing Booth before this movie, I think I again would have let it go down, because it's fluffy.
Okay, well, what I'm going to say is, if we did not have a kissing booth in our repertoire,
this would be...
We would be rating things on a Love, Simon scale.
Wow. Okay. You definitely hated it more than me.
That's where we're at with this movie.
Yes.
Who hated it more than the other one?
No.
It wasn't a matter of I liked it a little more than you. Yeah. I hated it less than you.
Because I think you hated this movie.
Hated the book.
Uh-huh.
And hated the movie.
Yes. I do not hate this movie in the way that I hate The Kissing Booth.
I don't hate this in the same way that I hate The Kissing Booth.
No. But you do hate this movie.
I do hate this movie.
I would say I do not hate it, but I do not like it.
Because I'm going to say, you know, here.
If it's a 1 to 5 scale and 3 is neutral and 1 is hate, I'm at a 2.
Uh-huh.
So I'm worse than neutral, but better than hate.
Mm-hmm. I'm at like a 1.2. Close to total hate. It was hard for me to continue watching this movie. Mm-hmm. Like the scene in the Waffle House, a direct ripoff of Ordinary People. Mm-hmm. They just ripped off a classic scene from a classic movie and changed it a little bit. And that's one of the sweet scenes, right? And so I was like...
Of this movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not like this scene.
Well, and I was like, so.
Or it's ostensibly supposed to be a sweet
scene?
Correct. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yes, exactly. And it's a ripoff scene, number one. And number two, it's Martin, right? And so I was just like, phew. And then even the car where he comes out to her, you know, he basically has said, I don't like to talk about what happened with my family.
Uh-huh.
And he says, basically, he then says, yeah, whatever. Let me tell you about me. It's not sweet at all. It's the same nonsense. He's so self-obsessed that he can't even hear that she's saying, this is really hard for me. Because he's just like, yeah. But let me tell you about hard. You know, I'm in love with this guy and I'm gay and nobody knows I'm gay. That's hard. Not, you know, having your family break up and then going to a new school when you're a senior in high school. That's not hard. I don't have time to listen to you, Abby. I was like, it's not a sweet scene. It's just another scene of him being self-absorbed and sociopathic. There is nothing. Like, there was no scene in here where I was like, oh, that was lovely. His parents interacting with him. Just complete.
We'll agree to disagree on that one. Not with the parents.
Yeah.
But with the car scene. We'll agree to disagree on that one.
Yeah, okay. So, three good things about the movie. There was an agree to disagree. And Nick agreed to disagree with him.
Yes.
And two good lines.
Yes.
You know, is this a Make-A-Wish situation?
Did you even use the ladder?
That was it. That's the best. If you just watch those three things.
And Yellow Vest's commitment to his dance.
Oh, yeah. And Skeleton Dancer at the party.
You know it's bleak if we're always referencing the extras. If the extras are our favorite.
I mean, really,
people.
we're like down to five good things about this movie. Literally, less than 10 seconds of goodness in this movie. So, all right, should we rate this movie?
It's hard to make good movies about sociopaths. All right. Let's rate this movie.
I did not write down my rating.
I didn't either.
Because we're rating on the fly, live.
We do.
Direct.
We have to write it, so it's definitely been influenced by our live and direct watching.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm gonna put this squarely between Mr. Holland's, between American Beauty and. Mr. Holland's Opus. So I think that was a 3 and a 9 for me.
Uh-huh.
So I think I'm going to give this a 7, 6. We're going with a 6. I almost said 7, but I'm giving it 6 KB.
Okay. So I said I was on the negative side of neutral with this movie. I did not hate this movie, but I did not like this movie. So I'm going to give this movie... Yes, okay. I'm going to give this movie 45 KBs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then one last thing I'm going to say.
Below 2 stars, but it is not in the level of some of the real rough ones down at the bottom.
I would watch Mr. Holland's Opus before I would watch this.
100% I would watch this over Mr. Holland's Opus. It's movies about terrible men. Those are both movies about terrible men.
I know.
But
this is about a terrible, soon to be terrible man.
Nope.
He is well on his way to terrible manhood.
The son in Mr. Holland's Opus cannot even make it. Does not fill
absolutely.
The void.
Absolutely.
Nope.
The hottie wife. There is
100%.
There's a lot
also,
of good
Mr.
things.
Also, Mr. Holland's Opus is like 3 hours long. The time commitment to Mr. Holland's Opus is so much more too. It's so long.
That is one of the greatest insults of that movie.
How long it is. So it's not 83 minutes like Be Somebody.
This felt
100% I would watch this over Mr. Holland's Opus.
No way.
100%.
No way.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I would watch Mr. Holland's Opus over this easily. I would listen to him sign and sing, my beautiful boy.
Oh, my God. Oh, I forgot how terrible that is. Oh.
What was the karaoke in this one? The karaoke in this one was way worse than the sign language of my beautiful boy.
No.
I'm just telling you.
Agree to disagree. I'm getting nauseous remembering my beautiful boy. It's, again, somebody who's not apologizing for their terrible behavior and over a long period of time.
Correct.
Just, and I guess in Mr. Holland's Opus, he's at least like, that is a gesture of apology. Simon couldn't even muster up a gesture of apology.
No.
Yeah. Although, I don't know if... I don't know.
No.
We can't compare their terribleness. Because refusing to learn sign language to communicate with your own child is still, like, so high on the levels of terrible things that a main character, ostensible hero of a movie can do.
I'm just saying.
if Simon and his husband said one thing
that Simon did that was kind... And we could not think of one thing. If we said, name one thing Mr. Holland did that was kind, he taught the boy to keep a beat. He did. He taught the boy to keep it. He did go and learn sign language.
He emotionally manipulated that kid because he took him to a funeral.
Okay, but Simon...
Except he didn't even go to the funeral. He just stood on a hill above the funeral.
Okay, but I'm just telling you.
I'm just remembering
Simon was taking
of
all
movie.
Of his friends to funerals.
Why are we watching so many movies about terrible men in the main role that we're supposed to think are the heroes? That's becoming the real theme of this podcast. Mm-hmm. All right, well, this is off the rails.
And so I think they changed the name to Love, Simon because they forgot the question mark. Love, Simon?
Is he capable of love?
No, like, can we love Simon? Love, Simon? I don't think so. That's a movie. It was a question. It wasn't a statement.
I'm really glad that Moonlight exists. Like, because this is rounding out our gay love trilogy, mm-hmm. right? And we had the very sweet lesbian cheerleader movie mm-hmm. that was campy and it was funny and mm-hmm. it was also like very tender mm-hmm. in the love between these two girls.
It was.
It was really nice. I loved that. I loved watching them fall in love
or whatever they were in. And they were
so beautiful and tender.
Yeah.
Like, I loved that. And Clea DuVall is an icon. And then, you know, Moonlight also, you know, a heart-wrenching movie to watch.
Yeah.
But it's so tender in, like, how it treats the main character.
Yeah.
And just so, such a beautiful and deep understanding of that person. So I'm just saying, I'm really glad that that movie and that portrayal of a gay man's identity
both of those are fun movies.
Yes.
And, you know, whatever about the sexuality, you know, that the one is really fun and the other one is just ridiculously well done,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's not Love, Simon's whole premise is his gayness mm-hmm. and he should be forgiven everything because he's struggling with his gayness, as opposed to Moonlight. There's all kind of things going on in his life. And his gayness is only one part of who he is. Mm-hmm. It's not who he is. Mm-hmm. Whereas that is who Simon is, mm-hmm. which is just maddening. And then Ethan, mm-hmm. you know, the openly gay guy. The only thing we know about him is he's openly gay.
And loves scarves. He's just always wearing scarves. And his mom wishes that he wasn't gay.
I know. And so it's all about his gayness.
No, it's true.
And so there's nothing else to him but his gayness.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just maddening. I just like, it's just only one piece of who they are. And so the whole movie is based around your gayness as your defining feature. And I just, that makes me want to. It makes me hate it, right?
Hmm.
It's the woman marrying her dog, right? That if we just so pigeonhole, because it's going to come as a shock to our readers, right? But gay people are complex human beings
mm-hmm.
that have a full range of interests, emotions, etc., etc. And to portray them as only being their gayness, I think is offensive.
Hmm.
I just find it offensive. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not cute. It's not endearing. And it's 2018, right? This would have been okay next to 16 Candles.
Hmm.
And we would go, no, okay, well, you know, that's what you made back in 1981 or whatever that was made, 78, I don't know. People just didn't know how to express more fully and weren't as thoughtful and developed in their writing, and studios didn't produce
mm-hmm.
challenging movies, and so you get 16 Candles and mm-hmm. Love, Simon, which I think was actually made in 78 and just released in 2018 with a different soundtrack.
They just digitally altered it so that they're driving Subarus and drinking iced coffee.
Yeah. Because there's no way that movie was made recently. That's just ridiculous.
or that's a commentary on the fact that this is what got made last year, as opposed to that this is the big budget gay rom-com that gets made the fact that it did get made this last year, does that say something about how we still
I'm telling you, it got made by Vincent, what's his name?
Yeah, but like...
It's the
you
KB
know,
producer-director.
Well, and then that's the movie, which is like, which is just in the vein of 16 Candles.
Yeah.
The Kissing Booth is.
And
you know?
So is this.
Exactly. And so these are still the movies that are getting made and that are getting marketed to people, especially young people. That there's in the vein of like those movies from the 80s, like how much have things changed in how these what these stories are? It doesn't seem like a lot, I guess. And no. Movies about terrible men that we're supposed to forgive for being terrible.
Okay, so this is supposedly a podcast about coming of age in liminal spaces, and yeah. So this was purely coming of age.
Uh-huh.
You know, he was not liminal. He was not becoming. He was just afraid to come out.
Because the only people that he actually does... Oh, I guess he comes out to his one... He comes out to Abby and he comes out to his parents. But then he doesn't actually come out to everybody else at the school. He's right. Forced into that.
Right. But that wasn't him struggling with, like, who am I?
Yeah. He's like, I'm gay.
I'm gay, but I don't want other people to know. Or yeah. How can I let them know?
And really the struggle was because things will be slightly different. Which then, he just, like, his parents were like, we love you, and they cried. And then he got a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. And his friend said, oh, we forgive you.
Yeah.
And the
so,
school,
like,
and the school
what
was
really
like,
was that? Was, yeah.
Except for the two boys that got in trouble. The school was like.
Yeah. And they immediately got shut down.
Yeah. Well, not they went on for quite a while.
They
like,
did.
There's no lunchroom supervision.
No, I guess not.
I guess not.
No. The vice principal's out taking people's phones.
And there's only two people.
There's only two people
three
that work
people
at
that
school.
Work there.
Yeah,
the math teacher.
The drama teacher, the vice principal. So there's no principal. There's just the vice principal.
There's the lunch lady who dropped her fingernail. There's four people.
There's four people that work at that school.
And she ain't got time to break up that nonsense. She's serving slop.
It was not an enrolling struggle then.
Okay, that was a rough one.
Well, what do we have coming up?
Well, we do have a new trilogy coming up.
A new trilogy?
And I think we're going to start with Splendor in the Grass.
Splendor in the Grass. We're going before 1978, 1981, whenever 16 Candles came out.
Yep.
I'm going to say it was mid-80s.
Which was?
16 Candles.
I thought it came out before Breakfast Club.
Did it? Maybe.
And
I
thought Breakfast Club was 82.
Oh, so it actually might be earlier than we think.
And that's why I was thinking it was like 80 or so.
Glad we are on. Just a heads up, readers, we are never watching 16 Candles for this podcast.
Never.
No.
Do not suggest it.
No.
Oof. Not happening.
No. All right. Well.
Okay. Well, that was
shifting to a new trilogy. We're gonna go further back in time to what if you were straight, but you were not allowed to do anything that your strict religious family in Nebraska would not approve of. I assume that's where the grass is in Splendor in the Grass.
I have no idea. I've not seen that movie. And so it's going to be in another American Jezebel and Greasy Repeating. This may be
It's
going
to be both of us.
It's going to be our first. Both of us say what?
Neither of us have seen it.
Neither
oh
of
goodness.
Us have seen it.
So many things could happen.
And where can we watch this movie?
So we can watch this movie on, you can rent it on YouTube, on Google Play, and how we will probably rent it, which is on iTunes.
Okay.
It's not available elsewhere. It is hard to get a copy of it.
Couldn't
so you will
it
probably
at the
actually have to rent it because the library does not have it. Maybe
Did
your
not.
Library,
maybe
listeners and readers around the globe may have a copy of Splendor in the Grass, but our local library does not. So
does
we are going to have to rent it on one of those platforms. Yes, I'm excited. We're going to go back to, I saw it when I looked up the movie. I think it's 1965. Yeah.
Okay.
I do love Natalie Wood.
And young Warren Beatty.
And baby Warren Beatty. Okay. And I assume there'll be some other great people in it, too.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
I have no idea what it's going to be about other than what you just said.
There's grass.
Yeah.
And Natalie Wood and Warren Beatty are in it. And we'll have to make some more. You'll have to come up with some predictions.
Okay. I've got some thoughts already.
Yes.
All right. So this was Splendor in the Grass will probably be sponsored again by Sustaina Butter.
Yes.
Yep.
Because you need to be fortified by nutritious
deliciously
nuts.
Deliciously digestible.
If you want to be splendorous in the grass.
Yeah. So thank you. And thanks to Kevin MacLeod for the music.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah. Yep, doing strong work, man, I'm telling you. So join us in 2 weeks. Episode 16 will not be live and direct.
You know what live and direct mean? Mean live and direct.
Thanks for talking nonsense.
Thanks for talking nonsense.